Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Benoony Tunes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You know why?
Why?
Because I have my best friend, Little Tiny Ben, to hang out with today. Oh, hi, I'm Tiny Little Ben. Oh, look at me. I'm Little Tiny Ben head. I have this little Tiny Ben head on my desk that our friend Colleen made us, and it just sits here on my desk and stares at me every day. It cracks me up. Whenever I'm like, what would Ben do? I just ask Tiny Ben. And he tells me. He's like, don't do that, Ronnie. Don't put that in your nose. Your nose is for breathing. And I'm like, okay, Ben. Another day.
You know what I have?
Not doing that.
I have a little baby in my arms because it's the valley.
Oh,
everyone
God,
gets
else?
A baby.
What else did we have? Everybody hold a baby. Jesus, this was so many babies. There were babies everywhere, pooping, screaming, slug. They're all over the place, you guys. It's a it's an epidemic, babies.
It's out of control, the number
they're
of babies.
They're everywhere. My God, so don't babies. Put your penis into people, okay? Don't let penises inside of you because this is what happens. Little babies everywhere. You can't even fuck a pool boy with freedom anymore because you got to take care of the baby. Everyone, welcome to the Valley Day. If you want this recap on Vidya or you want our bonus episodes, this week is a preview of In the City, which was really funny. Last week was a recap of Survivor, which was also super fun. You also get ad-free listening. You also get a weekly free TV blog making fun of all these shows written by moi. And you get, I mean, all sorts of shit. Just go over to Patreon already. My God. Some people were asking via email this week. They were like, oh, I'd like Patreon, but I like the ad-free listening, but I would rather listen on Spotify. All you have to do is add it to your Spotify. Add ad-free listening to your Spotify, and boom, you get ad-free listening in your Spotify or whatever app you listen to. You can do that within Patreon. So do that. When you sign up on the computer, not on your iPhone. Because when you sign up on the app, you get charged more money. So if you want it cheaper, do it on your computer browser. Okay, there's your Patreon tips and tricks for the day. Today, we are talking The Valley, Season 3, Episode 2. Snip, snip.
Yeah, snip, snip. Welcome to the Valley of the Babies. And
Valley of depressing fucking people. You got two men on here trying to pressure their women into having sex after they've just dropped a baby. I mean, the guys on this show are really notoriously just disgusting. Really.
Yeah.
The best one is Jason. And unfortunately, you know, I guess one half of the couple has to suck in order to be on this show. I'm not sure what it is, but. Damn.
Honestly, the guys are now going to find out the hard way what's going to happen now that their alpha, like both their alpha and their alpha villain is gone, because now Bravo has to give a bad edit to someone. And I think that Bravo is interested in not giving Jesse the villain edit. I don't think they're giving Jesse villain energy this year. I think Jesse is just sort of like mid-pack, almost getting a nice edit. And I think that Danny and Luke, but I think Danny's going to get a bad edit this year. I think it's been sort of, it's been bubbling under the surface, and Danny and Nia have been like the golden children, and I think this season might not be great for him. I'm just sort of getting those vibes.
Do you think last season was great for him?
Well, I do think last season was. Here's the thing. I think that he could have had a much worse edit last season than what he was given, considering what the whole discourse around him was.
Yeah.
I think the edit around him was like, he's like this, like a nice guy who is releasing steam and maybe lost a little bit of control. I think that was the vibe of his edit, and it could have been significantly worse. But part of me wonders, is this the year that Bravo says, okay, we gave you a pass. Now get ready. We don't have Jax anymore, so we got to villainize some guy.
Well, he's earning it in my book. I mean, my God, the pressuring on Nia and then like sitting there laughing while she's about to break down after he's forced her into fucking Santa Clarita, where she feels like a prisoner and she wants to just, you know, crawl under a rock or whatever. And he's just like, well, when are you going to start banging me again? I mean, just gross, gross.
Not
so
like
he deserves any edit that he gets. And so does this fucking guy. You know, I've never liked Luke. Kristen's Luke. Everyone's like, Luke's so nice. Luke's a creep. Okay. Luke is a creepy little fucking guy. I've never liked that guy. And he is really being gross in this episode. He's really bugging me. And you know what? I don't care whether or not I just dropped a baby. don't pressure me to fuck Luke. Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke had a good season last year. He had a good edit last year, but this year, ugh, I just think it's so tiresome. You know, here is Kristen, who is, you know, breastfeeding your baby, who is going through all these things, who's had to undergo all the physical pressures and whatever the, what all the, I don't want to say consequences, but like what, you know, her body's had to change. She's had to go through things. She's had to go through surgery, all this stuff. She's dealing with so much. And the last thing that she needs to deal with is you being like, well, we need to have sex. We need to have sex. God, it's, you know what? It's called some Lubriderm and your fists. Okay. Get to work.
Jerk off, for Christ's sake. I mean, yeah, for such Jesus. A jerk off, you'd think you'd know how to do it. You know what I mean? Go jerk off like everybody else, you fucking weirdo. Yeah, it's just take so, care of it's it. Just so pale and like, ugh, let me stick it in you all day. It's like, get out of here.
I also hate that this is actually more of his priority than, I don't know, trying to help Kristen transition back into just normal patterns. You know, last week, Kristen was saying how she hasn't really left the house more than once over several weeks. And I feel like if I were him, my concern would be like, hey, like, let's normalize going out of the house with the baby. Let's normalize like being okay with all that stuff. But his concern, his primary concern is getting laid right now. And I just think it's just so typically male. And we've seen this so many times on these shows, And it's like, it's just it's so obnoxious. God, we're just like a terrible specimen, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we are. And, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, they're just bagging on straight guys. No, gay guys are not immune from guys are guys. Okay. We're shit too.
Yeah. Yeah. We're terrible. We're terrible. And we're trying to help from within the house. Okay. Yes. You know, like this is, I'm sorry, but Luke just sitting there, the way that it's one thing if Luke, you know, asks and she's like, no, but the fact that he's having serious talks, like we need to talk about this. We need to discuss this. Like Kristen's got enough on her mind. Okay. She's probably navigating some sort of postpartum. She's navigating a whole, like the stress of taking care of a baby. And like, she just doesn't need you adding this on top of her heap of psychological things. She's also just navigating being Kristen, which is a lot, even before there was a baby.
Seriously.
It's like a lot to navigate Kristen Doty.
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, Kristen just being Kristen, you're right. That is a
just
lot. There's so many curbs to trip over. You know what I mean?
So many Fleetwood Mac lyrics to still learn.
All right, so let's get going. We are at Danny and Nia's depressing little box on the hillside.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes full of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside, and they all look just the same.
Daniel,
have you seen the commercial that uses that song?
I have, but what is that
commercial? They make it so happy. They're like, "Whoa, we're not just anybody. If you want an original car, get a Kia or something like that." Okay, but they're using.
Mind your words. Okay.
Well, I'm not dissing the Kia.
Don't bring Kias into this.
I'm just getting that in there so you can diss where I live for the rest of the episode. The valley.
That's true. I have the suburban car. So I have like a piece of the valley here.
I live in the valley, but you drive the valley car.
Yeah, that's true. I do.
But I'm kidding. I don't mind Kias. I mean, I think they're very pretty cars. But I think it is a Kia commercial or something like that. And they're like, little boxes on the hills. And they make it like a rock song. They're like, little boxes on the hillside. I don't know who came up with that, but I love hearing it again, guys. Tamar, so thanks, Kia.
Yeah.
Little bitches on the hillside. Little bitches being a bitchy. Little bitches on the hillside. And that's my opinion.
So Nia and Danny and Asha, they're all in the backyard pool. That's nice that they have a pool, you know, upsides. And then Asher's like, Dad, do your funny thing. And he like flops down into the pool because he's like, he's very, very dad-like. And so he does a lot of dad things like that. And so
the only reason I've ever wanted a kid is for the audience, because they laugh at literally anything. That's why I love kids, because they will laugh at like the dumbest thing. And I'm like, I got to laugh today, you know, and I can go on with my day. I would have kids until they stopped laughing at my jokes and then ship them off and then just have more kids.
I'm going to push back on that. I don't think children often laugh when I make witticisms about Linda Fiorentino.
Well, we have different humor. My humor relies on like funny faces and fart noises, and your humor relies on like advanced human instinct and like intellect that I don't possess.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we go to Tom's townhouse. Tom is a friend of. Why is he getting? Is he a friend of, or is he in the main cast? I forget.
I think he's main. I think he's a main cast. Oh, yeah. Member.
I think he is main cast. By the way, I'm going to say this as well before we get any farther. You know, I think that we as an audience sometimes just we need to all just shut up, because everyone was so mad about Lala, Tom, and Sheena, and I'm not taking that away. I think that's valid. Everyone was so mad, but we basically shooed Sheena away. And I think that we should not have shooed Sheena away. I think as long as Lala and Tom are here, I think Sheena should have been in the mix. And the reason why is because like this show could use like a little bit of an injection of campiness. And Sheena is that person to come by and say something stupid and do something like blatantly obvious for camera time and to elevate her position. And then she can excuse it by saying she's a people person. I just think this show could use a little bit of that. And I don't know. I found myself kind of like missing Sheena in these group scenes.
I agree that if they're going to do it, like if they're going to bring some Vanderpump people in, it needs to be just do it. Just bring all the desperados in. Mm-hmm. I would just not have brought anybody in. I would have brought in another fucked up couple from the Valley. Because they need another, they need another truly fucked up couple to kind of, round it out. Because these couples, no one wants to talk to Janet, you know, so that's not working. It's not working right now. The current configuration's not working. I don't know what they're going to need to do, but it's just not, there's nothing, it's not good.
Maybe the thought was, okay, we're going to cast Lala because the cast is divided and someone like Lala will be able to bring people together. Whereas a new group, like a new couple, may be unsure about their place and may not try to bring the group together. So I understand that. But I agree. I kind of think they should have just, you know, brought in new talent, brought in new faces. I mean, we get new faces, but I mean, new actual humans along with the faces. So Tom is like,
Lala's a uniter. Sorry, I just had to push back on that one. When has Lala ever been a uniter?
It's 2026. Nothing makes sense anymore. Lala's not a uniter, but she would not be afraid if a producer said you have to make them talk together. She would not be afraid to jump into the flame.
Right. She can do the producer dirty work for sure, which she's already showing today. So we go to Tom's house and he's with his brother, his little brother. I need all the brothers here. I need like all three of them. Aren't they triplets?
I think there's about six of those twins. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the brothers is not doing well, right? One of them had a rough go. Remember, I think Tom mentioned that on
From
Rules. Like his brother got jumped and then was like traumatized and turned to drinking and ugh. So so I don't know what's going on with those triplets these days. But now we go to Kristen and Luke's house. And because
you can't be a triplet and then just show up yourself on TV because you're a triplet.
That's the thing.
And I feel sorry. I'm sorry if you're a triplet, because I know there are triplets out there like, but I'm my own person. That's great in your own life. But like, I know you as triplets and I can't just see one of you. Cause then I'm like, but where's, do you feel like you've been cut off from?
It's like
you're another limb, you know what I mean? I'm worried about you.
If I buy a ticket to the Triplets of Belleville, I better see all three older women on their bicycles. So
exactly. I don't want one seat empty because someone's going through a rough time. You need to all be here or none of you.
Get there.
I don't care how you get here. Just get here if you can, triplets.
Yeah.
That's the Aaliyah Adams song. She literally sang that to triplets.
Yeah. It's specifically for that. So then Kristen and Luke's house, Kristen is asking Luke how he's feeling. And she's like, how are you feeling? He's like, about what? She's like, about what? I don't know. I don't know, life or Sip and See was really fun. I was sort of expecting you to drive the conversation right now. He's like, well, I'll be honest. I didn't see Schwartz and Michelle getting flirty on my bingo card. It's like, oh, so they were flirty? It's like, yeah, they agreed to have like a night out in WeHo. So, wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want to be a fly on that wall. Oh.
Said,
hey, fly. Said,
by the way, and, there's no flies want to be on that wall. All the flies would, like, there's literally so many better walls in West Hollywood to be a, on as a fly. That the worst wall, this is like the Olympics, like when you get, when you get the ticket lottery and you're excited to go to buy a ticket to gymnastics and you finally get in and the gymnastics is all sold out. So next thing you know, you are like doing, buying a ticket to, you know, dressage, which is not unlike my experience. Like you're just a fly that got the shit lottery if the wall you wind up on is watching Michelle Lolly and Tom Schwartz
drink
together.
The only flies who have it worse are the surf flies because there are actually flies on the those walls. And they're like, do you think we want to be here? We don't. We would rather be somewhere else. Just clean the walls. I mean, it's been 20 years. Can we clean the walls?
Clean them. So Luke, Kristen's like, so what does Jesse think? Does he care? I want to be a fly on that wall. Caw-caw Buzz. But this group is so weird. I can't imagine. I can't believe we have to go to another party tomorrow. Like Lala was talking to Nia and I, and obviously about like Janet coming. And I was just like, why is this even a conversation? I'm no interested in conversing with Janet. Like we're going on a 1 year old's birthday party. Okay. Wrong place, wrong day, wrong time, wrong wall for the fly. Caw-caw.
So he's feeding the baby and she's like, wow, you're feeding a baby. Wow. And he's like, yeah, I'm really patient, but, and I don't want to push it, Kristen, but like, you know, we've been neglecting my penis in this relationship, you know, and like, we haven't had any time without her around. Look at her. She's ready for college. Like, I haven't even seen you in 20 years. The baby is 5 minutes old, Luke. Okay.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes old. He's like, yeah, but like, can't we like, you know, go out and like fuck somewhere or like maybe we could have a night in and like have her at like Brittany's house or like have a babysitter when we go out and maybe we could fuck out of the house. I don't care. Just fuck me somewhere. Please, please just fuck me.
How about Luke, you like at least try to seem appealing to Kristen right now because he's like slouched down on the sofa. Like it's one of those things where like his entire back is on the sofa and his head is like propped up on the pillow and he's like wearing some janky ass shirt. Could you at least like try to make yourself try to give her a lady boner if you're going to ask her to have sex with you, please.
That's the thing. Instead of begging people to have sex with you, why don't you make them want to have sex with you?
Yes.
You know, like do something, grow it up, you know, start working out. Well, actually I wouldn't suggest starting to work out because I don't think people like that when they've just had a baby and then their husband starts going to the gym all the time. Cause that usually means they're cheating, but it's also like, look at me. I'm spending even more time now out of the house while you're stuck home with a baby and I have the freedom to like go hang. So don't do that, but like,
don't do that.
Glow just up like, or like do things for her, you know, maybe.
Yeah. Do like seduce her.
Kristen, like,
you know,
so yeah, she's
like,
something.
Well, my fourth trimester ended like literally 2 days ago, which is ironic because trimester inherently means three things, not four, but you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, not like date night. Like I just, it's whatever. Like, just like, I'm just like not ready for date night. I'm not going to give her to a babysitter. Like life is back to normal. It just doesn't work that way. It's like, well, you know that like intimacy has been an issue for us. And I'd like to start moving in the direction of getting back to our old sex life. Like, shut up, bro.
She knows it's not about date night. It's just about fucking, you know? I think if he was really like, listen, why don't we make an effort, you and I, to both interview people who we would be able to trust who could come over maybe for a couple of hours to babysit. You know, we'll start with like 1 hour and then we'll go to 2 hours and I could just take you to our favorite restaurant or, you know, he's not doing that. He's just like, I want to fuck you. I want to fuck you right fucking now, you know? And so she's like, you want me to be honest? I hate that idea. Like, I'm so attached to her still. I'm still just so attached to her. And she says, you know, she understands. And her therapist told her, what is 15 minutes out of your day, Kristen? Oh, really? Here's what I would say. You know what an hour of my day is like? Free now because you're fucking fired. The fuck out of here. What is 15 days like? What kind of therapist are you? I just dropped a fucking baby out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so. So Luke is, sorry, I just started to imagine when you said like they should be talking about like interviewing nannies and I was kind of imagining like that they have like a, that they have like nanny tryouts and then like a girl shows up with like a Groucho Marx mustache on. She's like, hi, my name is Kina. I'm here to look after your baby.
And I'm her assistant, a flock. I'm here to clean dirty diapers.
just flocking Kena. It's Brock dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I'm her mother. The flock.
No, I think if they're going to have like nanny interviews, you have to do it in a way that's going to really get interesting for Kristen. Like, she has to be able to be interested in it. So you should hire people. You should bring people in to interview and then give Kristen like the FBI most wanted website and let her do searches. You know, pay the $20 a month for one of those sites where you can search everybody's details. Because, you know, Kristen loves accusing people of crimes and stuff. Just
it's not what I was expecting. Just come on the other end of that pause.
Just let Kristen go crazy on everybody and be like, "Oh, I'm," you know, until she finds one that she can find nothing on. And that I think would make it would both be fun for her. It would go to an old pastime, and it would also just make her feel more secure. I think she would love something like that.
I think Kristen would make a great CBS procedural called The Nanny Finder. And she's like, my job is to find a nanny for you, and I'm going to go to the bottom of it. So she calls in a nanny. And the nanny is like, I love taking care of babies. It's what I've always been doing ever since I moved from Arizona. What have I been in Arizona? Nothing I care to share about. And then the next hour is her like going to Arizona investigating the nanny's background. It turns out the nanny is like running from the law and yada, yada. She's like, well, we found this out. You're running from the law. Carla. Or is that even your real name, Marissa? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm going back to Arizona. Like, that would be the whole hour.
Exactly.
And I think it'd be a huge hit.
I'm in. So it looks like, but we need to get back in the motion because happy parents make happy babies. Oh my God.
You're not making, well, I guess like, yes, you should have a happy family. But also, like, again, just jerk off. Watch some porn and jerk off.
Until making mommy miserable by pressuring her into having sex when she's not ready yet isn't making a happy parent, though, Luke. You know what I mean? And Kristen's like, well, I feel like we shipped my baby off to my friend's house so we can fuck. And, you know, I get what she's saying. Like, she's attached, this and that. And he's probably thinking, like, well, we don't have to ship the baby off to fuck. We could just put the baby down to go to sleep and fuck while the baby's sleeping. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that's not the point, Luke. Like, she's ready when she's ready, and you don't make it any easier with pressuring her. Anyway, that's enough of that. I'm just repeating myself, but yikes. Yeah,
he sucks. Now we go over to Brittany's house. Zach comes over, and Brittany's like, oh, hi, Jack. I'm in the sensory room. Come, Luke. And she's basically turned this room into a sensory room for Cruz, which is actually super cool. All these different like things to look at and feel and move and hear and whatever, which will calm Cruz down if he's ever feeling overwhelmed by something. And then
well, she had that with Jax, but I mean, you like reach out and then you could feel like, you know, a stripper's thong on the ground or like.
What is this
powdery substance that's making my eyes water on the other wall? You know, what is this crust on the couch?
It's like, oh, I feel calm now. I feel calm.
So this is like a sensory room, but like appropriate. So Zach's like, wow, this is so cool. Yeah, I recently changed Chris's playroom into sensory room. Yeah, so he can regulate his feelings and stuff. Like, basically everything they would have at OT, I have here as well. And, of course, the trampoline. He's like, wow, Drunk Zach would love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Drunk Zach's going to be in there also playing around with the sensory room.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they're like, playing with Cruz and everything. It's very sweet. And at one
point, Cruz says his name, which is cute.
Yeah, which is very lovely.
Zach. Zach. Like, did you say Cruz? Did you say Zach? It's like, I did. It's like, oh my God. Oh, well.
So did he just say I did? He's like, yes. I wonder, you know, how much Cruz says that Brittany just doesn't understand because she's Brittany, you know? Like, she just doesn't get it. Cruz is probably sitting there like, mother. Today, I would love to go for a lovely stroll in the park, and I'd love to catch that Oscar-nominated film that's been re-released at the Lumley. She's like, oh, what? Did you say Pop-Tart? Oh, I'll look around for it. She's like, Brittany,
hold
too
on,
stupid I'll to some, understand.
I'll put some sunglasses on Kingsley. Hold on one second. Did you say something?
But it's actually very sweet. It's very lovely.
It is. And, he's a cute kid. And it's cute seeing how much he loves Zach.
It really is. And I was actually really happy for Brittany. Like, those are special moments. And you could see she was really, like, she was really kind of floored. So Brittany's like, so Benji just got back into town. How's that go? Wing. And Zach's like, well, Benji's, of course, like, just happy to be back. And, like, we just need to apply for a different type of visa.
Oh, like an Amazon visa? One of those things, get points back when you buy books, you know? That's pretty cool. It's like,
you know, get double the points.
You get those meal rewards, you know, when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you get like one free wing because of the good. You get the Buffalo Wild Wings visa. Is that what you're going for?
Benji is like the perfect compliment because, like, I allow him to be himself and he allows me to be myself. So, you know, I want to be with that guy forever. Like, I'm thinking about it. She's like, y'all talk about kids. Like, why would we? Like, who gossips about children? That's so weird.
Yeah, that's like a non-negotiable. Non-negotiable.
You talk about having kids. Sometimes I talk about Janet's kid, but that's like, I shouldn't say that out loud. It's rude.
So he's talking about, by the way, something that, like, I did have a hard time with. You know, I generally really like Zach, but at one point he did say something about, like, how, like, he used the word hisself, and by word I mean in quotes instead of himself. And one of my pet peeves is when people say his self instead of himself. Zach, how could you do this to me? I needed to voice that because I know there's someone else out there who heard him say his self and was like, so he's talking about surrogacy and it's expensive. And he's like, you know, it's not that I don't want kids. It's just that I would actually rather throw myself into the LA River than have kids. That's it. But I would absolutely be so happy if we had them, you know, because someone could fish me out of there. It's okay. And I just never saw myself as having kids. I saw myself going to the white party in Palm Springs for the rest of my life until I was 68 years old. So I don't know. I'm just, like, kind of dealing with this right now, Brittany. I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah, I think if you don't want kids, you should not have kids. Period.
Yep.
Don't put the kid through that.
Period.
So it's like, well, let's change topics because, you know what? Speaking of that, like, I'm really worried because, you know what? I haven't met Brandon yet. Hold on. Let me squint my eyes at you. But I know you guys just got back from Cabo and, you know, it's so nice to see you smiling and happy. But you know what? You know, if we're being honest, sexually satisfied. But that's great and stuff. But don't you think you're moving too fast? It's like, no. I mean, like, maybe it feels like we're moving faster because I know him for so long, you know, because I knew him before, then I knew him after, you know, so, you know, maybe it's just because we could just get right into that. But you know what? I'm focusing on me. And I mean, I like him. He makes me feel good. He's a good person. We're fun together. And Zach, she's just,
how could you even beaming. Say that we're moving too fast? We're sitting on a couch. Okay. We're not even moving at all. What are you talking about? Crazy.
But he has two baby mamas. I was like, oh, God, Brittany, come on. She's like, yeah, well, you know, the good thing is he told me everything. Well, yeah, how is he going to not tell you that, Brittany?
Oh, my God, that's the number one trap.
Brittany's been treated that badly that she's like, well, at least he told me that he had two baby mamas and three children. Like, yeah, you're dating him. Why is
the trap is thinking that honesty means quality. Honesty means goodness. Just because he's honest doesn't mean anything. It's sort of that thing where if you're arguing with someone, you sort of concede a minor point so that way people think that you're listening to them. And so he's throwing you a bone by being like, oh, I'm gonna bear my flaws. I'm gonna bear my issues. But, like, that doesn't mean that he's, like, not gonna have Jack's, like, patterns. And so she's like, no, here's the thing. He's not confrontational at all. So he's not like Jax at all. And Zach is like, Brittany, why can't you see this for what it is? He has three kids by two different women, drama with both. He doesn't even live here. I'm sorry. This is a recipe for disaster. And, like, that's bad. Like, it's also like you can have two different baby mamas, but the fact that he has two different baby mamas and drama with both.
That's the thing.
I mean, the movie poster is there for a reason. It's supposed to tell you what's happening, okay, when you buy the ticket.
That's right. That's why books have covers. Judge them.
Yeah.
Judge them. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a point here. So he's So Zach's like, you know, I'm talking about, you know, like the personality that's able to manipulate you and captivate you and pull you in. And, you know, she's like, that's why I like him. You know, she's like, he asked me to be his girlfriend. And I was like, I'm not ready for that just yet. He's like, okay, well, you know, ever since you've known each other, you know, you're in a relationship, ever since I've known you, you're in this relationship, you're in that relationship, then you're in another relationship. And she's like, but I've been single for almost 2 years now. Like,
he's like, no, absolutely not. There was people that were there. Like, you're still rebounding. You're just like missing that shot, like a lot, girl. It's like the denial you have is insane, because it is crazy that she just called herself single for 2 years. You've not been single. You've either been with Jax, or you've been banging this guy, or you've had like one or two hookups. But like single, this is not single. Oh, drives me nuts. So she goes, Meanwhile, he's just coming out a little aggressive, because I literally just came out of a very controlling relationship and I do not want any man to try to fill that space. So just like back off. Let me live. Like, okay, now you're going to villainize Zach when he's giving you truly the best advice right now. And he's being so clear about it. And, you know, we're going to see later on that she's already going to start trying to turn the tide against him.
Well, that's how Brittany rolls, though. And we saw it on Vanderpump Rules with her relationship with Jax. She starts dating this absolute monster and a loser. And everybody's telling her this man is a monster and a loser. She didn't care. And she villainized anybody who said it. And anybody who didn't jump on her side, she tried to get rid of along with Jax. And look what happened. So she's going to just do the same exact thing to somebody else. You know, Brittany gets off a lot because Jax is such a monster. And Brittany seems like such a sweetheart because she's got this big smile. And I think, she does have a lot of sweet qualities to her. But there's a reason someone's with someone like Jax. You know, she's got a lot of that. She played a lot of those games too while she was with Jax, with other people, I mean.
And also, the moment, I guarantee we're going to see Brandon say, you know what, people who don't believe in us, you should cut them out. Like, you just can't be friends with them, because you need to be friends with people who support the things that you do. And because that's exactly what Jax did. He was very much like circle the wagons, cut out people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm just, I don't like where this is going for her. Now we go to Lala's house. Yeah, I don't like where this is going for us.
I think
now.
Brittany has Lala's faults, house. But I overall like Brittany. And I, you know, I don't, oh God, come on, man. Smarten up, Brittany. Yeah. Fuck.
I think Brittany seems very, very sweet. I think she's probably susceptible to falling into certain patterns. It probably has to do with like daddy issues, yada, yada, yada. I'm not a therapist, but I am a podcaster. And I think that gives me some authority to pontificate about psychological things that I'm not licensed for. And
we're podcasters, which gives us extra ammo, because we can even judge therapists here. So
yeah,
we can judge your therapy. So what do you think about that? We trump.
We see these patterns therapy. And we see how we see the damage that Brittany causes to her friends. With the fact that she's always burying her head in the sand with these guys. And it's hard to watch.
Well, there's the friends, but there's also a kid now, you know, and you've got somebody whose track record sucks, basically. And that doesn't mean like anyone who's divorced or whatever listening to this, like, what? I can't date just because I've had two exes. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the being with somebody who's got really problematic relationships already with two women and three kids isn't great for your kid who needs special attention also, and need, you know what I mean? You have to think about the kid too.
And also stupid. Who is diving into this very fast and going very quickly. They're already traveling on vacations together. And now it's like, be my girlfriend. Like, it's a little love bomb-y. But you know, we haven't actually met this guy. And I think once we meet him and we learn more about him, like, I'm sure we can revise our opinions, but so far this does not sound great. And I think the fact that it's like pinging on Zach's radar, I think Zach has been pretty good about noticing these things. I think that's like, it's not, you know.
We don't know the guy, but we know Brittany's picker. So
that's the thing. Commercials. Here comes one
right now. So then we go to Lala. Yeah. Sherman Oaks.
Sosa's
birthday party.
Sosa's birthday. Finally, someone's going to celebrate a baseball player. So there's a lifeguard named Elijah there who's hot. So, of course, she goes over. She's like, Elijah, I'm Lala. our names rhyme. So we would normally, if I didn't have a child, we would bang right now. Does that sound good?
She's like, yeah. I've never met a lifeguard who knocks so much on the front door. Just stay by the pool. He's like, okay. She's like, how old are you? And he says 38. I don't believe it. He looks 12. And she's like, wow, just the handsomes. And he goes, thank you. You're beautiful. She's like, wow. Yeah, nailed that. This is huge milestones. Because when I gave birth to Sosa, she was in human form. And I could like put a face to this form I thought I've had for so many years. And she just completed the family. It just felt so right.
I would love it if she, like, well, of course you're going to say that. Imagine if she goes, when I had Sosa, she looked so great, but she just didn't complete the family. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
You're going to say that about every baby, quite frankly. So Lala is Janet and Schwartz arrive first with and Jason. And Lala's like,
I had a baby. I could do better. It could be better. How's your baby?
You know what?
I was hoping for more. I was hoping for more.
We're going to give it another shot. This one didn't quite, I don't know. Didn't really complete the picture. Although that is kind of what Danny says later.
What's that?
What? He's kind of like, well, I wish there was a brother for the other boy.
Oh, you know, God. Because it's like the Middle Ages. Who's going to carry on the Buko family name if not a man? We need another child named Buko at church or it's not going to work. Now, who am I going to pass on this pool in Santa Clarita to if not a dingle? A baby with a dingle on it.
So Lala's asking Jana how she's feeling. Are you nervous? And Jana's like, a little bit. It feels like really good energy in here though. Like really, really good energy. Yeah, you know what? It's probably my pussy energy because there's a hot lifeguard out there. Oh my God. It's always good energy at this house. You know this. Like, is it good energy at Lala's house?
I mean, no. I don't feel it, but maybe it's the TV screen. So Janet's like, going into Sosa's birthday, I'm very nervous to see everybody that I haven't been on the best terms with. So she sees Tom and, you know, he's like, wow, I'm just flirting with the taco stand over here.
Yeah, because Lala has also seemingly hired every vendor in Los Angeles to set up camp in her backyard. It's just like a row of tents and like flat tops and smoke and whatever. I'm like, damn, it is crowded back there.
Yeah, it's a like, lot. So then Michelle arrives with Isabelle and Danny and Nia come, Kristen and Luke, everybody's coming, you know, and Janet's wearing, I don't, is she
like Janet Safari?
Janitor? It's like, what is,
it's like,
she needs a mop like bucket.
Custodian Safari. She's wearing like a khaki colored jumpsuit that can go either way towards like, there's a rhinoceros or there's the pine saw.
or like it's a med. Welcome to the med spa, you know. So Janet is like, yeah, last summer was tough. And it felt like our friend group got torn apart. It's just so awkward. I hope we can find some peace in the group. And Nia just tells us, if there's tension in the room, I don't notice it. I mean, maybe it's a thing on her end. But, you know, I just, whatever. I don't think about Janet.
Which I don't believe. So then Brittany arrives. Hi, it's my Brittany. And then Jasmine and Melissa and Michelle's like, hello, do you want me to hold your baby? And you go up to the guy. And Brittany goes, why, what guy? And Lala's like, there's the lifeguard. She's like, do you know him? She's like, I don't know him. Like, I'm about to know him. Kind of like, womp, womp, womp. I'm kind of nervous. I want to bang. I'm getting wet. I hope I don't squirt all over the lifeguard.
This is very Lala to pass off her baby to hit on the lifeguard that she hired for a 1-year-old's birthday party. Wow. Wow. So yeah. She's like, yeah, you know, like, can I have your number? Do you want my number? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to catch you later, big boy. Catch you at nap times. Yeah. If it were my daughter's first birthday, I'd probably have a quickie right now.
Somewhere the Don is sitting at a window looking out being like, what about me?
The Don.
Remember that?
Of course. She's like, oh my God, the bed was so wet. So we had to change the sheets. I splattered that whole bed. Ugh. I don't know. Stuff that worked as like a fun new hostess at the Sir hostess stand. It's not really landing the same.
I don't know. I actually applaud her for
a birthday party.
I applaud her for going up for that 38-year-old lifeguard. You know, why not? Like, I mean, does it get any easier? I mean, it's like you said, when you get like an Instacart driver and you look at their picture or whatever, like, hey, she just landed the gold mine. She got like a hot lifeguard in her backyard. Like, change those numbers.
Yeah, it's just I'm looking at it as kind of reality TV. Like, look, everybody, I still got it. Like, you got the phone number from the guy you hired. Like, you gave a phone number to the guy who's like paid to stand there. Wow, good for you. You know, it's like giving an hors d'oeuvre back to a waiter and being like, yeah, nailed it. He's into me.
So Michelle's talking to Tom. And she's like, Tom's like, oh, so I asked Michelle on a date yesterday. She's like, that's how rumors are started, please. And so this girl who's with him is like, well, what do you think the love life is? And Michelle's like, well, I see Tom with someone in their late, their 20s, that's just like free spirit and easy going. He's like, yeah, someone who wants to live, laugh, and love. Like, we're going to do. Yeah. Whoa. I'm a little buzzed. Please, system override. I'm a buzzed.
So now Tom is talking with Danny and Nia. And he's like, wow, look at you guys. I find myself living vicariously through you guys. I mean, look at you. You're just so married and happy and you got kids. And it makes me kind of sad. And Nia goes, yeah.
He's like, where'd you guys meet? All at church. Because my heart deep down, as you know, I'm a man of faith. And I love to serve and do those types of things. One of my favorite things to do is when we're passing around that little bowl with the money in it, it's just to put my hand on someone's thigh and say, give daddy some donations, okay? There we go. Tithing.
Yeah.
Tithing, as I like to call it, thying.
I love a place where there's so many butts to rub and so many $5 bills to take out of a basket. I mean, isn't that sweet? And it's like, yeah, so you know church. And so I said, I got to find someone who's got the same heart with a, you know, who's gorgeous and a freak in the sheets. And God was like, here she is. Here's your sack of fuck meat, Nia. She's like, wow, this feels great. Love being here. So then Kristen and Brittany are talking. And go ahead.
What are the odds that they go to Mosaic? Did we even discuss this at one point?
I think they 100% do.
Mosaic, for those who don't know, and there's this church here in LA on Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood and La Brea. And it's kind of like young, pretty Hollywood church. And it's all like these like beautiful Christian hot people in Hollywood who gather and they do like lots of like hip cool things. And I used to go to the coffee shop that was kitty corner to it. And a lot of times a lot of people in the congregation would go into the coffee shop and do like Bible study there. And they're all like young aspiring actors, but they would be like trying to interpret the Bible, but they were doing it in that like vapid way that you would expect anyone from this show to do it. And it's like, it's truly the funniest.
They're like, what was Moses feeling when the bush started burning? Like, let's put ourselves in his shoes.
Jesus like went through like so much if you think about it. And the pastor has like, the pastor for the congregation would come to the coffee shop and he'd be just like wearing this like cool, like skinny jeans and like denim, but it's just funny to me. There's nothing wrong with it.
He went like 40 days without eating, and that was before GLP-1s. You guys, could you imagine? No, I would be crying too. Jesus was hot. Jesus was like a 10, you guys.
But like, yeah, there's obviously nothing wrong with any of it. It's just like a very funny thing to me because it's just such a hipster scene. It's just like a hip cool scene. And
you guys, I optioned the Bible. I'm not even kidding you.
There may be some funny business with Mosaic. I feel like I have to look that up. I think there was an article about there was some a little bit of funny business there, but maybe that was another one of those. There are these churches around town that the young celebrities go to. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they're totally Mosaic types.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers. Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.